What is better than this? It's Guys Being Dudes, Draft Dudes Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Krabs, a solo draft dude once more, as Papa Joe continues to finesse his way into making me do these podcasts on my own. Now, here's the good news. The feedback that I got on Friday was a lot of you seem to appreciate the manic Charlie Day, Always Sunny in Philadelphia approach to where the hell these quarterbacks going to go. So I had fun doing that, and what I wanted to do today is I don't want to get into prospect talk without Joe. We have the Senior Bowl. It's done. The Super Bowl is next Sunday. We'll talk about the Super Bowl later this week. But today, what I want to do is I want to look at some of the upcoming free agents. If you're familiar with SpotTrack, the website SpotTrack.com, they have a lot of salary cap, a lot of free agent tracker stuff, and one of the things that they do that I really enjoy is they do market values for upcoming free agents, and it illustrates, you know, what this guy got last year, what their market value is based on their age and contract, and it's really fun to kind of sit down and peruse the projected, like, based on historical value, what you would expect a guy's going to get. And I'm looking forward to doing this today because we're going to go through and I'm going to tell you whether or not I think your team should pay market value or less than market value if they are interested in signing some of these players. There's young talent, there's old talent. The first name that comes to mind is Drew Brees. When you go to SpotTrack.com and you filter for market values, Drew Brees is the first name that comes up. He's a 41-year-old quarterback, played well last year. You can tell from a physical standpoint there is a decline. He was the 10th highest paid quarterback in 2020 with $25 million of an average annual salary. Unrestricted free agent. The four contracts that SpotTrack references relative to Drew Brees is Aaron Rodgers, who was 34 when he signed his, Russell Wilson, who was 30 when he signed his, Jared Goff, who was 24, and then Ben Roethlisberger, who was 37. So the average age of those four players was over 31 years old. The average length of those deals was 3.5 years. The most comparable one being Ben Roethlisberger, who signed a two-year, $68 million contract when he was 37. So that average of 34, SpotTrack projects Drew Brees is going to command a two-year, $73 million contract, which would make him the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL, and an average salary of $36.5 million per year, so $2.5 million more per versus what Ben Roethlisberger got. Boy, I struggled with this one. Because if you're going to sign Drew Brees, you're a team that clearly feels like you are on the cusp of a championship, and you might need a quarterback to run it back, whether it's in New Orleans or somewhere else. I think if I needed a quarterback for a short term, and I feel like the rest of my team is ready, and I have the cap space, your other options are Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers, right? I would rather have Brees than Tom at this point, or Rivers at this point. I still think Brees brings the most consistency. I think Brees brings the most physical tools at this point in his career. Give me Tom, or give me Drew. If I'm a quarterback that needs to win now, I would be willing to pay Drew Brees $36.5 mil per on a two-year deal. Probably 1 year in a club option or player option. Because Tom's market value at 43 years old is $33.7 million. Again, factoring in all those contracts, the Goff, Wilson, Rodgers, Roethlisberger contracts. If you need a quarterback and you want to do the short bridge, I'm doing Drew. I'm not paying Tom $33 million. The Phillip Rivers market value is listed at $27.5 million. If you got that kind of money to throw, first of all, Phillip is the worst off as far as what his arm is. He's gotten beat up. And he's the youngest of the three, ironically, at 38. But I would not be giving out that kind of money to a guy who I'm super apprehensive. And I think his landing spot, as we talked about on Friday, is pretty interesting. I don't see, you know, people are wanting to peg him to Tampa because his family moved to Florida. But I'm sorry. Phillip Rivers' arm, throwing 550, 600 pass attempts in a vertical offense with Bruce Arians, I don't think that's going to go well. I really don't. I want to shift over to A.J. Green. A.J. Green has endured a bit of a drop-off, some durability issues over the course of the last couple seasons. He did not play in 2019. He played 9 games in 460 snaps in 2018. He last had 1,000 yards in 2017, but he missed 6 games in 2016, 7 games in 2018, and 16 games in 2019. So the question begs to be asked, what's his market value? Well, A.J. Green's 31 years old. He's been in the league. He has 9 accrued seasons entering his 10th season. And market value, according to SpotTrack, 2 years, $18 million. You consider his salary now, his average salary was $15 million, which ranked him as the NFL's 11th highest paid wide receiver. I don't know that I want to be the guy that's going to bet on AJ coming back healthy. If you guaranteed me I would get healthy 31, 32-year-old A.J. Green, yeah, $9 million per is a very fair price, and I would not be surprised to see Cincinnati do exactly what A.J. has said he doesn't want them to do, which is slap him with a franchise tag. And if that happens, you know, I hope they wise up and do tag and trade, because if they tag Green, now you're overpaying. And I understand you're going to be bringing in Joe Burrow here with the number one overall pick, but I have a really hard time getting excited about you tagging a guy for a season to pay him a lot of money when he's missed a lot of games as of late. And let's just be honest, he's getting older. I don't think A.J. Green makes sense for Cincinnati to have. A.J. Green makes sense to go to a team that's looking for a complimentary piece to put them over the top and make a postseason run. Those are the teams that if I have the room, yes, I would pay average salary $9 million per as market value. The contracts that they used and referenced here were Julian Edelman, who was 32 when he signed a 2-year $15.5 million contract. Emmanuel Sanders was 29, signing a 3-year $33 million contract. Larry Fitzgerald signed a 1-year $11 million deal when he was 32. And DeSean Jackson signed a 3-year $27 million contract when he was 32. So the average age of those 4 guys on their contract signed, 31 years old. Average duration, 2 years. Average value, just over $20 million. So about 10 per. They're fading them a little bit. Teams that are ready to win, yes. Cincinnati, no. Let them walk. Go recoup your comp pick. Will they do that? I highly doubt it. I feel like they're going to tag him, unfortunately. This is where it gets fun, because we've got Jadeveon Clowney as a name here that has a market value, and his calculated market value, according to SpotTrack, is a 26-year-old defensive end, $20 million per year, 6 years, $120 million. Make him the NFL's third highest paid defensive end. The four contracts they are invoking for this projection: DeMarcus Lawrence, Frank Clark, Trey Flowers, Za'Darius Smith. DeMarcus Lawrence got $21 million per year. Frank Clark got 20.8, Trey Flowers got 18, and Za'Darius got 16.5. Is it worth it? Well, that's a complicated question, because Seattle got 624 snaps out of Clowney this year. They got four forced fumbles, three sacks. If you just box score, you're going to be disappointed with Jadeveon Clowney. And I get it. You know, he was available for 13 games. He played 13 games. He started 11 games. Played through an injury at the end of the season. But you have to have a vision for Jadeveon that's just not as simple as put him in the end, let him rush off the edge. It'll be an interesting conversation to have, because we have a player in this year's NFL draft class in Kalamon Chason who operates in the same ways, where he's not a consistent winner off the edge as a pass rusher. He's much more of a slant, crash, twist, stunt, versatile defender that you move around a little bit. So for Clowney, the fact that some teams may not feel as though he is a plug and play, no questions asked, let's just put him at end, let him feast. If you don't feel he's that kind of player, it might water down your value a little bit. Would I want to pay Jadeveon Clowney $20 million per year? No. Not when I can draft Chason to do the exact same role. Clowney at 26, he's stayed fairly healthy over the course of the last couple of years. I know there were some big injury concerns when he first came into the league. He only played four games in 2014, but he's played in at least 13 games every single year since. The big tell here is Clowney has only had two seasons in the NFL with more than 750 snaps, 2017, 2018. And those were great years for him in Houston, and had big breakouts with sack production and disruption and tackles for loss. He played 898 in 2017, and he played 900 in 2018 at 18.5 sacks those 2 years combined. Clowney in six seasons, has 32 sacks, 9 forced fumbles, and interception. Played in 75 games. 32 sacks in 75 games. I think it took a while for Houston to really get a handle on maximizing Jadeveon Clowney. So you're going to have a really good defensive coach. That required really good defensive coach may end up watering down Clowney's detail. I think his market value checks in slightly below that. He didn't have the explosive year this year that would have really helped fortify himself as a must-buy. So I would pass on paying the $20 million for Jadeveon Clowney. Oh, boy. It's time to talk about Jameis Winston. A young quarterback. We talked about the old guard and Philip and Tom and Drew and who we pay out of that group, but what would you pay a 26-year-old quarterback who threw for 5,000 yards last year, 30 touchdowns, but also threw 30 picks? SpotTrack is projecting annual average salary of $26.7 million, which would make him the 10th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And the contracts that they used as the foils were Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, and Jared Goff. Average age of those four players when they signed their deals, 26. Average length, 4 years. Average value, $117 million, which is an average of $29.5 million per year. So they are fading Winston based on his production. And that's a really interesting statistical comparison, because SpotTrack does that as well, where they take the players and the contracts that they signed, and they looked at the statistical production the 2 years prior to those players signing the contracts and what they signed. And then they take the 2 year production of the player in question and compare the average of the four players that are the foils with the player who's getting his forecast. What if I told you Jameis Winston played in 82% of his team's games over the course of the last two seasons, which is 10% lower than the average of Wentz, Cousins, Carr, and Goff? What if I told you that Jameis was 3% shorter on his passing touchdowns per game than those four quarterbacks combined, but 136% higher in his average interceptions per game? His quarterback rating is 10% lower than the average of Wentz, Cousins, Gahar, and Goff over the 2 years prior to them each signing their respective contracts. His passer rating is 11% lower. Every advanced measure of quarterback play, because I don't just want to use volume stats, because 296 yards per game for Winston over the last two seasons, that's 10% higher than the other four guys averaged combined. But the interceptions, averaging 1.5 picks per game over the last 2 years for Jameis Winston, 10% lower quarterback rating, 10% lower passer rating. This is a hard sell. And Jameis is asking for 30. Jameis is out of his mind if he thinks he's getting 30. I think Jameis is out of his mind if he's asking for 26. Hell no, I'm not paying this contract. For an unprecedented, what situation could you possibly afford for Jameis? And be like, hey, this is going to protect you from yourself and your lapses in judgment. Because Bruce Arians, it wasn't even just Bruce asking to throw. Bruce fits Jameis' strengths as a quarterback. But as the volume of passes went up, the frequency of the mistakes got worse. His interception ratio per pass attempt has never been higher. Don't you dare pay $26 million for Jameis Winston. I think you'd have to be out of your mind to pay that. So in summary so far, I'm paying Drew Brees $36.5 mil per if I'm a team that's ready to win right now. I ain't paying Tom 33. I'm not paying Phillip Rivers 26. I'm willing to pay A.J. Green $9 million per, which is market value according to SpotTrack, but I don't think he's going to hit the market because the Bengals are going to bungle. I'm not paying Jadeveon Clowney $20 million per. I'm not paying Jameis Winston $26 million per. Let's talk two more guys. I want to talk about Melvin Gordon. An interesting name. Some really strong production. His forecasted market price, according to SpotTrack, is $11.7 million. That would make him the NFL's fifth highest paid running back. Currently, Melvin Gordon is the NFL's 27th highest paid running back and had an average salary of $2.67 million per year on his current contract. Rookie wage scale sucks for running backs. Because Melvin's best days are probably, I don't want to say they're behind him, but Melvin's physical prime with the low tread on the tires, he did that for pennies on the dollar versus the production that he was able to put out. The four names that they are comparing for Melvin Gordon: Devonta Freeman, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, and David Johnson. An interesting collection of names. Their average age was 24.5. The average length was 4.5 years. The average value was $57 million. Average salary, $12.6 million. So they're fading Gordon's market value by about $1 million. Gordon is another name across the board who is down in all of the major measures. Games played, he's missed 10% more games than the average of Freeman, Gurley, Elliott, and Johnson over the 2 years before they each signed their respective deals. He's down 13% in rushing yards. He's averaging 67 rushing yards per game over the last 2 years. Almost averaging three quarters of a touchdown per game. That is almost exactly what those other four guys averaged. Receiving yardage down, receptions down. The fumble rate is notably improved. The average of the four, courtesy of Gurley at one fumble every four games, and Zeke one fumble every four games, and David Johnson one fumble almost every other game. Gordon's fumble rate is 50% better. So that's a good thing, but as far as output, and I understand backs specifically, it's difficult, right? Because they're so dependent on the rest of the team. Am I going to pay Melvin Gordon $11.7 million? I am not. I am not interested in paying that value to a guy who's 26, who's been a good player. He's been a very effective back. But by the time it's all said and done, how good do you feel about a guy who has given you one 1,000-yard season? He scores touchdowns. He catches passes out of the backfield. But he's also only played in 16 games once in his NFL career. He played 50% of the snaps last season. He played 55% of the snaps in 2018. He's never played more than 70% of the snaps in a season. You compare and contrast that with some of the other names, right? Let's take Zeke Elliott, for example. And mind you, Zeke had some suspensions that he's dealt with. But Zeke has played the last two seasons, 942 snaps, 893 snaps. The last 2 years, Zeke is at 83% of his team snaps. And you're going to propose to pay a guy who's getting 50 to 55% of the team snaps, $12 million per? I'm passing on paying Melvin Gordon. I want to use this Todd Gurley one as a nice foil here too, because as the Gurley production continues based on the contract he signed, it's a bit of a red flag. But even still, Gurley is getting has taken 75% of the snaps for the Rams in each of the last four seasons. Gordon's getting 50 to 55. And I understand Gordon held out for a time. And I understand that tempered that measure and that statistic a little bit. But Gordon also never, he has zero track record of taking snaps at that rate. He stays healthy. He always seems to have like a little lingering issue. I don't know. I'm super apprehensive about the prospect of paying Melvin $12 million. For a guy that only once in his career has taken 70% of his team snaps, and the other guys are hauling 75 to 80% of the snaps the entire way. Last name I want to talk about. One of my favorite NFL players. Big brand guy for me here at the Draft Network and when I was with NDT Scouting. Yannick Ngakoue. Who is a stud. Make no mistake. He is a monster. Oh, I'm paying this in a heartbeat. SpotTrack has Yannick Ngakoue, 24 years old, projected at an average annual salary of $17.1 million, which would make him the NFL's fifth highest paid defensive end. The four contracts they invoke, Frank Clark, Trey Flowers, Dee Ford, Za'Darius Smith. The average age of those four players when signed, 25.8 years old. Average length was 5 years. Average value, 86 mil. Average of 18 per. So Yannick is checking in below that, which is interesting. He is, by and large, across the board. his sack production, his tackles per game, his stuffs and stops. He is right in line with the average of those four players in their respective 2 years before they sign their contracts. Yannick has made it very clear he's done in Jacksonville. You read the tweets. he's ready to move on. I expect he will hit the market, and I expect he gets paid. And he's a guy who, despite the fact that he's somewhat undersized, has played in the last three seasons 75, 75, and 80% of the team snaps. He's logged 38 sacks in four seasons, and he's only ever missed one game. He's missed one game in his first four seasons in the NFL. 15 forced fumbles, 38 sacks in 63 games. He checks the boxes. He absolutely does. And I think Yannick D. Ford is a great contract to invoke for him, because I think they win similarly as far as their disruption and first step and bend. And D. Ford signed 5 years, $17.1 mil, so exactly what they're projecting for Yannick. But D. Ford signed his at 27. If I'm Yannick, I'm coming out, I'm asking for 21, 22. And if he does, I'd probably give it to him, because he's really good. And he can go to any team and be an impact starter. He's one of the NFL's best pass rush specialists and artists. Absolutely. Sign me up, Yannick Ngakoue. So, to summarize, the players we covered today and whether or not I would pay them their projected market value based on SpotTrack. I would pay Drew Brees if I was a team that needed a bridge quarterback to make a Super Bowl run. In paying Drew, I would elect to not pay Tom Brady, and I would elect to not pay Phillip Rivers their projected values instead. I'm going to give the guy $3 million versus what Tom Brady's projected market value is, because I feel like Drew is the best of the bunch, and he's 2 years younger than Tom. AJ Green, projected market value of $9 million per. I would pay him, but I don't think he's going to hit the market. I would pay him if I was a team that needed him as a complimentary pass catcher. Team like the Colts, I'd love that. You know, they did the Devin Funchess thing last year and are going to let him walk. And if AJ hits the market, go to the Colts. Absolutely go to the Colts. You're going to get, you know, a chance to maybe get a young quarterback in there, whether it's Jordan Love, Justin Herbert. They have a very Super Bowl-ready team. They just need to kind of figure out how they're going to kickstart the offense and whether it's Jacoby Brissett or somebody else. Jadeveon Clowney, I am not paying $20 million per. I would rather pay Yannick Ngakoue $20 million per than pay Jadeveon Clowney that kind of money. Jameis Winston, projected market of $26 million per. You're out of your mind. No way. Don't do it. Last name we talked about, or last name that I have not acknowledged at this point, was Melvin Gordon, whose projected market value is almost $12 million per. And I'm saying pass on that as well. This is the dangers of free agency, right? Is you're paying guys for what they've done, not what they're going to do. In a lot of cases. And a lot of cases, when you look at the case study of signing those contracts and big transactions going different directions, it has to be either a blue chip player that's going to project into any NFL system, or it's going to have to be the right fit. I hope you guys enjoyed this. This is fun. You know, at the Draft Network, we're not just the draft, we're also team building. And NFL, we are NFL's 33rd front office. And that means we're going to be very plugged into the free agent market and who's doing it right, who's doing it wrong. We look forward to telling you all of what we think and all of why you should feel a certain way about your team in free agency as well as the NFL draft. I'm Kyle Krabs. Come back tomorrow. Joe is confirmed back tomorrow. I'm actually traveling today, so I'm pre-recording this on Sunday before Ben Solak's wedding. I'm sitting here looking out my window in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it's snowing, and I'm thrilled. Let me tell you, just spent a bunch of time in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I come up here to snow. I love it. And by love it, I mean I hate it. But come on back tomorrow. Joe will be back with us, confirmed, tomorrow for Draft Dudes. For Takes on Takes, your hot takes, send them to @TheJoeMarino or @GrindingTheTape with the hashtag Takes on Takes. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to welcoming Joe back to the show. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.